Welcome to More in the Word, a podcast at More Theological College in Sydney, Australia, that seeks to glorify God through biblically sound, thought-provoking, and challenging talks and interviews. In this episode, from a chapel service held on Friday, the 25th of July, 2025, as part of Mission Awareness Week, Dan Webster, missionary in Namibia with the Church Missionary Society of Australia, speaks on Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 16, and the gifts Christ gives his church for building up his body. Dan reminds us that even though the church only grows to maturity thanks to God's work in us, we still have a role to play. We must use the gifts he has given us for the benefit of others, not just in our local context, but also for the sake of the global church. Please note, Dan refers to a talk he gave on the Wednesday of Mission Awareness Week, but unfortunately that was not recorded. We hope you find the episode helpful.
Good morning. I just want to say a big thank you to all of you for having me here. It's been such a treat. Really, really, it's been quite an emotional week for me. I've been very thankful reflecting on my time here and what More College has been for me. And I just want to thank you for your chats, sharing with me. I'm very grateful to the faculty for welcoming me and conversations and things. Thanks. But let's pray. Our Father, I want to say thank you so much to you for your great, great goodness to us. Thank you so much for opening our eyes to see Jesus. We pray, please, that you would open our eyes again to learn from your word and to see your heart for the world. Father, I want to thank you so much that you give gifts to your people so that your body might grow up. Lord, I have to believe you've given me gifts too. And I pray, please, that you would work through me in us today as you work through your word and spirit, that we, even in this moment, might have an experience of growing as your body, growing into Christ. We thank you for making us your body. We pray, please grow us as your body. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Coming up on the screen just now is a shongololo. Yeah, they come out in the rainy season and they'll bite your legs off. They're very quick to curl up in a little spiral like that. And I often feel like I'm a shongololo too, kind of small and black. I'm very quick to curl in on myself, you know? Naturally, I'm very concerned about myself rather than others, let alone the globe. Praise God, he's not a shongololo. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Well done. I hope this kind of catches on, by the way. God is awesome. He has a will that takes in everything, everybody in heaven and on earth to draw things together in Christ. He's not turned in on himself. He's outward. He's busy today working out that will, drawing people to himself in Christ, to one body, therefore drawing us to each other in one body, that we might stand together. And in chapter 4 here, Paul's kind of saying, wow, guys, look at the calling you've received. You are one body. Now be it. Do it. Grow up as the body of Christ. Let me just show you. Let's look at a few verses because Paul just says it over and over again. Verse 12. To equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. That's the goal. And if it's not clear enough, he kind of says it again, verse 15. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. We are the body of Christ. We need to mature as the body of Christ. Verse 16, from him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. I've got teenage boys. I'm sure you've met teenage boys. At the age of 13 or 14, they've got like size 12 feet, but they're only this tall. You seen that? Yeah, and you're like, dude, you're going to have a body like this, but you need to grow into it. You look like you're wearing flippers at the moment, but it's going to change. That's us, right? We're the body of Christ. We need to grow into that body. And this section that's just been read for us is all about how that happens. What's the growth process of the body of Christ? How does the church grow? And I just want to briefly unpack that, very briefly, and then try to think about how this applies to the global church. So that's where we're going. On Wednesday, we talked about standing in unity with the global church. Today is kind of the next step. How do we not just stand together but grow together as the global church? So that's where we're going. I'm going to start with this, the growth process of the body of Christ. How does the church grow? How does the body of Christ grow? Well, like a cow in Namibia, by itself. By itself. Yes, you can put the next slide up. You know, 50% of the cows in Australia are injected with growth hormones. This kind of thing. Not in Namibia. We have good meat. We have good meat. Cows in Namibia grow themselves up. You see the connection. It's not a very good analogy. There's no like outside thing, some growth hormone that's meant to make the church grow up, other than God's grace and the power of the Spirit, right? It's not like there's some sort of government injection or some sort of technological advancement or some sort of worldly strategy that's going to grow the body of Christ. It's us. The body of Christ grows itself up, verse 16. Because verse 7, Christ has given gifts to the body. To each one of us, grace has been given according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Verse 16 picks up that idea of the measure again. As each one of us takes that measure of the gift of Christ, that we take that grace and we work it out, that's how the body grows. Friends, I'm saying this because I don't want us to make excuses and think, well, I've got gifts, but I'll just sit back here and somehow the body's going to grow. That's not how it works. Christ has given you gifts and me gifts, and we're called to work. And as we work through these gifts that have been granted to us, that's how the body grows. It grows itself up. I don't know if you believe that. Verse 7, to each one of us, these gifts have been given. When I first came to Moore College back in 2007, I thought I kind of had some gifts for ministry. Within 1 week, I was like, I got nothing. I was so overwhelmed. The people around me are so amazing. They still seem to be. I thought, I got nothing here. I've got this kind of imposter syndrome, which I've had all week as well this week. We must believe that verse 7 is true. To each one of us, grace has been given. That's an aorist. It has been given. Perfective aspect. You guys have got this kind of thing, right? It's happened. He's given you, me, gifts. Who's given the gifts? Been given by the King who descended and ascended in victory and now fills the universe. He knows how to give good gifts. He's not kind of fumbling around, making mistakes. Oops, that was the wrong one. Sorry, oh, too much there, wrong one there. No, he knows what he's doing. And his gifts are mighty because he works through them. And he gives you these gifts because he loves his body. It's his bride and he wants it to grow up. That's why he gave you the gifts. So you've got gifts, right? You've got gifts. Are we going to use them? That's the question, because that's how the body grows. If you don't use those gifts, so I've been kind of talking quite individualistically now. You've got gifts, use them for the growth of the body. Great, true. But I want to kind of, it's Mission Awareness Week. I want to think globally, and I also want to think a little bit corporately for the rest of our time. Number one, I want to think globally, how might this kind of growth process apply to the global church? That's the question. I said on Wednesday that Paul's focus in Ephesians, it's kind of local, but he's also got an eye to something bigger, doesn't he? The church, what does he say? Christ is the head of the church, that is his body. Like this is kind of big picture stuff. So, for example, Christ gives apostles. He doesn't give apostles to an individual church. He gives apostles to the global church, right? So sometimes God, he gives gifts perhaps for the global church. So I just want to think, how has God given us gifts, not just for the local church, but for the global church? That's the question. But I also want to think corporately, and now I'm on less sure exegetical foundations. It's not, the passage says to each one of us, not to each church or denomination. But I want to ask, is it possible that he has given areas of strength, gifts, to particular groups of churches for the sake of other groups of churches? You can uninvite me later if this is totally unbiblical. But yeah, Mr. Thompson, you can, you know. We're right here. We're right here. Okay. All right. Thank you. We'll see how we go. But is it possible that Christ has granted us, and by us, I know that us is not a homogenous group. There's wonderful diversity, especially today with all these dress-ups. Just use your imagination. A kind of a more college-y kind of group. Is it possible that he's given us particular kinds of strengths and gifts for the sake of the global church? That's kind of the question I want to explore. So point one on this is using our gifts, whoever our is, but using our gifts for global church growth. What gifts might we have for the sake of the global church? I think there's plenty of answers. Money, models of healthy ministry, you guys are amazing, you gifts for the global church. But the one I want to pick up on is a kind of bit self-interested, a theological education. Part of growing up, verse 13, part of the body of Christ growing up is reaching unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God. Many Christians around the world don't really have a very strong knowledge of the Son of God. How can you grow up as the body of Christ if you don't really know Christ that well? In the growth process, you will have noticed as it was read out there that speaking the truth is very significant for the growth of the body, right? Christ gave this kind of fivefold ministry of truth speakers who speak to the saints, who then do works of service, which Dr. Windsor's convinced me that this is about not serving on tables and giving out food, but giving out the word of God. It's about speaking. And then each of us, as we do our work, we are to speak the truth. Lots of speaking, right? How is the body of Christ going to grow up if they're not given the truth, the word of truth about Christ? And friends, I believe that's something we've got here. Is that arrogant to say? I don't think so. I think it's a gift, isn't it? Isn't it a gift? I don't know about you guys, but thank you, thank you. There's someone being African for me. Can we have an amen? Hallelujah. Yes, thank you very much. Is it not something we have received and we are currently receiving? A good theological education, a good framework for understanding the Bible and the gospel. Is it not true? It's a gift. I introduced you to Tobias on Tuesday. Maybe we can get the photo of Tobias back up there. There he is there. Told you about how he's quite an evangelist and plants churches all over the place, puts a pastor in each of those churches. And I guarantee you, those pastors have a very shallow knowledge of the gospel. I've never met one of them. Why do I say that? Because Tobias had a very shallow knowledge of the gospel. But recently he came to me after about a year at Nets and said, Reverend, thank you so much for all you've been teaching me. Now when I preach, I have something to say. I don't know what you were doing before, but it's like, praise the Lord. And he said, now I know I need to go back to all my pastors and train them. And I'm like, how cool is this, right? I wasn't a very good student. I wasn't the top of the class. Some of the senior lecturers can attest to that. But I just took what I received here. I went over to Namibia. I gave what I had. Tobias took it, and he's going up to the north to give it to his pastors who are going to give it to his people. Isn't that awesome? Hallelujah. Yeah, right. So people all over the north of Namibia are growing up in Christ because of what we've got going on here. By God's grace. Not because we're awesome, by God's grace. It's his gift. So precious. This happens all the time. Can I have the next photo? Isidore Mundra. He's the guy on your right, okay? He's planted 15 churches in 5 countries and then says, I should probably get some theological education. I'll do a year at Nets. Comes and does a year and says, I've been teaching the wrong thing. I've been mishandling God's word. So he does 6 years, turns his house in the DRC into a Bible college, becomes its lecturer and faculty entirely, and tells all his pastors that they must come to college. It's the same story again, right? What we're doing here is having impact all over the place. Oof. So have we potentially been given gifts by the Lord for the sake of the global church? I'd say yes. Yeah. By God's grace, whether that's exegetically sound or not. Let me throw in a little more of a plug for Africa. A quote from Andrew Walls. If African Christianity is to be the standard bearer for worldwide Christianity in the years to come, and if we follow current trajectories, it really will be, then what happens within the African church in the next generation will determine the whole shape of church history for centuries to come. What sort of theology is more characteristic of Christianity in the 21st century may well depend on what happened in the minds of African Christians. And we've got a role to play in that. And it's been played for many years and is still being played out. Friends, you have such a gift here by God's grace. I've been like literally pinching myself at how good it is. I've just been amazed and thankful to God. Is it possible that he's given us these gifts, given you particular gifts as individuals, but also given us particular gifts that are entrusted to us for the sake of the global church so that the body might grow up? If so, what are we doing with them? Are we using those gifts? Okay, that's number one. Number two, growing up by receiving from the global church. I think that first one's a bit challenging. This one's much more challenging, I think. Is it possible that Christ has given gifts to our brothers and sisters in other parts of the world, even the majority world, for the sake of our growth in Christ? Now, I don't like to admit it, but I kind of think that I'm grown up in Christ and those people over there, they need to grow up. And I don't have anything to receive from them. Does that sound ugly? It is ugly, but that's true in my heart. I hope it's not true for you. When I was studying at Moore College, how many set readings did I read from non-Western theologians? You can't count Augustine. I can't remember, to be honest, but I think I can count them on zero hands. Before the any faculty feel like I'm attacking you, I'm a lecturer in Africa. Guess how many set readings I give my students from non-Western theologians? Not many. Not as many as I should. Well, I don't know them because I don't read them because I find it hard to connect with them. But ultimately, underneath all of that, I wonder if there's this doubt here. You know, I don't really need to grow from them. They need to grow from me. It's interesting. In verses 13, 14, and 15, Paul includes himself in this need for growth until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God. He includes himself, the same guy who in Philippians says, I want to know Christ. I'm not there yet. Get another quote up here. This is missiologist Paul Hibbert. He says, we need each other's vision. He's talking about the global church. We need each other's vision to correct, enlarge, and focus our own. He says that it's right to contextualize the gospel for our culture, but churches in specific cultural settings need the check of the international community of churches to test where their theologies are too strongly influenced by cultural assumptions. He's kind of saying we can over-contextualize. We can be tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of our culture, actually, as well. I've kind of seen that. I've stepped out of Sydney a little bit, stepping back in. I see it a little bit. For example, like this expressive individualism and this obsession with how I'm feeling. I see that in churches. Africans don't really do that. It's kind of this helpful check. But I want to quickly mention two ways that Namibian Christians have helped me grow up. Just two, I could mention so many more. Number one, they've taught me that I don't trust God. I say I do, but One of our very first weeks in church in Namibia, the guy leading church started by saying, Lord, we just want to thank you for the shoes on our feet today. And my wife and I were like, have you ever thanked God for the shoes on your feet? Why not? Because if I don't have shoes, I'll fix the problem. I'll buy some. I don't need to trust God. You see that? You see the problem? I don't need to trust God. That's the problem. I have another student called Lot Mwatile. And he said, I'm going to write a book about the blessings of poverty. There's not many, but there are some. They know how to trust God for their daily bread. If you're like me, you were told about the age of 18, you're better equipped than 80% of Africa's pastors. And there's truth in that. But do you trust God like 80% of Africa's pastors? Probably not. Great theology, don't really trust God. This is an area we can grow. It's an area we can grow in. Number two, I've learned that I often separate out the person and work of Christ. And I kind of
I abstract. Thomas Torrance really helped me see this, and then I noticed it in all my African brothers and sisters around me. I do this thing where I kind of abstract the truth. It happens in Western epistemology and kind of worldview. I was planning a mission trip in Namibia. We were planning to drive to a place called Otjiwarongo, about 3 hours north, and immediately the students are saying, oh, okay, so we're going to go past, you know, Okahania, there's that big flat area, and then there's two mountains, we'll drive past them, and we'll be in the car listening to worship music, and we'll get some good food to eat on the way. Very concrete, right? That's what they're imagining. Me, we're going to drive to Otjiwarongo. Okay, immediately in my head, I've got a bird's eye view map. We're going to drive from this spot to that spot. That's what we're doing. That's the reality in my brain. The reality is I'm driving from that dot in my head to that dot in my head. Do you see what's happening? I've abstracted from the actual concrete experience of the trip into this kind of thing in my brain, as if that's the most important, that's the meaning of the trip. So when it comes to salvation, I can easily think I'm saved by the work of Christ, separate from his person, or I'm saved by justification by faith. Do you know what I mean? I'm saved by a doctrine. My African brothers and sisters don't do that. They say, I'm saved by Jesus. I'm not saved by the cross of Christ. I'm saved by Christ who died on the cross for me. So Paul says in chapter 2, verse 14, he himself is our peace. It's not he achieved our peace, though he did. He himself is our peace. So Ephesians 1, what does it mean to be in Christ? Does it mean to be in a concept? Does it mean I benefit from the things Christ did? Kind of, but much more. I'm in the man, the God-man, the risen king. I'm in Christ. He is my head. He's my bridegroom. I love justification by faith, but loving Jesus is a totally different thing. Well, totally, not totally different, but you know, he's a man. This is a beautiful thing that I have been learning from my Namibian brothers and sisters. Is it possible that God has given not just us gifts for the sake of the global church, but given them gifts for us? Last thing, very quickly, the last thing I want to say is the need for humility. I've got a photo here quickly of my dear, dear brother, Romeo Tafadzwa Mokoenyere. He is brilliant. He was my mentee. Now I think he's my mentor now. He's smarter than me. He's more godly than me. He's more capable than me. He's brilliant. He's amazing. He's a fellow elder with me at my church, and he sits next to me in the office there. He's so hard to work with. I told some of you about this guy. He's so indirect. So I don't know what you're talking about. And then he's so direct. It's offensive. I find it so hard to work with him. Here's my point. That's as good as it gets cross-culturally. Maybe it can get a little bit better. But this is pretty good, and it's hard. If we're going to do this thing of standing together with the global church and growing together with the global church, giving our gifts, receiving from them, it's going to be hard. It's hard enough in the local church, let alone the global church. Chapter 4, verse 2, I think Paul's aware that it's difficult. So he starts like this, "Be completely humble and gentle." If we're proud friends, we're not going to learn a thing from the global church. We've got to be humble. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. I'm so grateful for the patience of my African colleagues with me as I fumble and make cultural faux pas all over the shop. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. You've got to make every effort because it's not natural. Should we make every effort? Yes. Yes, we should. Because, let me anakafaleo, because God has a will for all of creation that he's working out for the fullness of time, and it's begun to be worked out in the church today. It's for all nations. It's for everything in the heavens and upon earth to be brought together in Christ the King, the one who pours out his blessings upon us. And he's given each one of you and us collectively, he's given us gifts for the sake of this body, for the sake of this will that he's working out in the world, this will which he does everything in conformity with. So are we willing to take up the gifts he's given us and use them for the sake of his body, locally and globally? I hope that, like me, you've found this week that it's been helpful to just think broadly, to let the kind of boundaries of your thought drop away and think globally about God's mission in this world. I hope it's been as helpful to you as it has been for me. Let me pray for us. Lord, we're so thankful that your will takes in all things in heaven and upon earth. We're so grateful for including us in Christ. Jesus, we love you. We thank you for being our bride, groom, and making us your people. We need your help that we might use the gifts you've given us to contribute to the growth of your body, Lord. And so we pray, please, may we give ourselves over to your work. Please use us for the sake of your glory and the praise of your glorious grace. Amen.
Thank you for listening to More in the Word, a podcast of More Theological College. Our vision as a college is to see God glorified by men and women living for and proclaiming Jesus Christ, growing healthy churches, and reaching the lost. We invite you to attend any of our upcoming events, including this one from the Center for Christian Living. Digital technology like smartphones has revolutionized the way we navigate daily life and the way our whole society functions. We have supercomputers in our hands that can answer almost any question instantly and perform many tasks that make life easier. Such technology has its downsides, like the explosion of accessibility to pornography and the prevalence of online bullying. Even so, our stance as Christians is often something like, let's use this technology wisely but not abuse it, as if the technology is simply a neutral instrument. But the good things of our world, like technology or money, can become much more than this. They can become master teachers that dominate and disciple us. In the next Center for Christian Living Biblical Ethics Workshop, we want to do more than share helpful tips on godly smartphone use, although such tips are useful. We want to zoom out and consider how technology disciples us, how it profoundly reorders our attitudes, operating beliefs, and behaviors, not just personally, but on a society-wide level. Put your phones on silent and join the conversation on Monday, the 27th of October, 2025 at 7:30 p.m. You can register and find out more on the Center for Christian Living website, ccl.more.edu.au. That's ccl.more.edu.au. You can find out more and register by going to the More College website, more, that's more.edu.au. If you have not already done so, we encourage you to subscribe to our podcast through your favorite podcast platform so that you'll never miss an episode. For past episodes, further resources, and to make a tax-deductible donation to support the work of the college and its mission, please visit our website at more, that's more. If you found this episode helpful, please share it with a friend and leave a review on your platform of choice. We always benefit from feedback from our listeners, so if you'd like to get in touch, you can email us at comms, that's C-O-M-M-S, at more.edu.au. The More in the Word podcast was edited and produced by me, Karen Bielhartz, and the communications team at More Theological College. The music for our podcast was provided by Mark July from Pixabay. Until next time.